It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My good friend Pam Patrick's over there running the iPad, and Casey Elliott is our guest today. Good morning, Casey.
Good morning. How are you?
See, is your mic on?
Yes, I thought it was. Even I feel new because I haven't been here in about 2 months.
I know.
I had to cancel the last 2 times.
We missed you last month, so it's good to have you back in here today.
Good to be back.
Miss Monica is gone this morning to her grandson's program at school. It's his final awards program at school. So, of course, she and his mom and all the family has gone over there to Burns Flat. So anytime Monica's gone, of course, I really miss her because she takes care of all of the hoopla around here. So yeah. I'm not very lined out then when it comes time for me to have to do it by myself. Our Facebook sponsor today is Prophetic Voice Ministries.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
I've been there a time or two.
Yes, I believe you have. We're so thankful for each one of our sponsors. They have carried us through this time, and we couldn't work without them. We got to have sponsors, so we appreciate each one of them. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can either post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. Also, you can send it to our texting number, which is 580-485-0837. We do record in two parts, and a little while after the program's over, we'll have it posted over on our website, therockchristianmusic.com. So if you have a friend that doesn't have Facebook, you can send them there, and they can listen to the program at a later time. So I think I've covered everything. Will you please pray to start us out?
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to once again come together, Lord. We thank you for those that are joining us this morning, Lord. We thank you for those that will be listening later on. Father God, we just pray that whatever is spoken today, Lord, that it'll minister to somebody, Lord, where they're at in their time of need, Lord, or just bring encouragement. And Father God, I thank you for Neva. I thank you for Pam this morning, Lord. We thank you for Neva, or for Monica. Even though she's not here this morning, we just thank you for their devotion to this ministry that you've called them to day in and day out. And Lord, we just give you all the praise, the glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So what are you going to be talking to us about today, Casey?
Walking in our authority.
Walking in our authority.
Walking in our authority.
Boy, that is a great subject. You know, as I think about so many people that have illnesses that don't know that they have the authority. It talks about that in the Bible, how we have been given the authority. That's why Jesus died on the cross, is so that we could have that authority and that power in us.
Yeah.
So I got my tablet.
We don't have to settle for what the enemy, you know, throws at us.
That's right.
You know, start off with a testimony about that. Thursday night, we had a lady come to our church, and earlier that week she had made two trips to two different ERs and two different hospitals. And each one of them said that she had kidney damage, that her kidneys weren't functioning. And so she came to our church. They referred her to a specialist in Oklahoma City, a kidney specialist. And she came Thursday night to church, and, you know, the power of God just hit her. And that next morning on that Friday, the specialist office called, wanted to know if she could come up that afternoon and to run some tests and diagnose her in a treatment plan. And when they did their own tests, they the doctor's specialist said, "We've checked our results twice." She said, "There's nothing wrong with your kidneys."
Amen.
And
amen.
So, you know, that's God's still doing that today.
Yes, he is.
And but it's all about authority, you mm-hmm. know, and power and stuff. And so you know, that's something that the Lord's just really been dealing with me on the last few weeks, is, you know, we see all this chaos in the world, and it seems like the devil's making ground every day. And it seems like the church is losing ground every day, if we really look at it from that perspective. And why is that? It's because the church has forgot that it has power, it has authority over the enemy, you know. And I always ask, why are we tiptoeing around a devil that we have authority and power over? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. he comes in our camp and we start panicking. We start, you know, wanting to play patty cake with him, wanting to negotiate with him. But God never called us to negotiate with our enemies. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so I believe that we're in a crucial, pivotal time where God is wanting the church to realize and to remember that we were created to walk with power and authority. Jesus said, all power and authority has been given me from heaven. And we know that he's given us that same access because we are heirs with him. And so, you know, that don't mean that every day is going to be great. We're still going to have some crazy days. You know, I was telling them this morning, I walked out my door to come here and the neighbor's dog had left a present on the ground. And amen. But, you know, sometimes you're going to walk out the door and you're going to step in it. You know, that's a whole message or sermon, right? You know, right in that. But you don't stop. You keep on going. And so I was telling even them, I just left my shoes at home. I'll deal with them later. I came in my socks. So, you know, I ain't ashamed to say that, but I knew I had work to do, so I had to get here. And yeah. So, you know, that's what we have to do is we have to carry on.
That's right.
Amen. Even when the enemy comes and tries to do it. But talking about walking in the authority, if we have to remember that we have authority, that means that we've forgotten something or we laid something down, so we have to go back and pick it up. So that means we have to go back to somewhere and remember something. And so if we want to do that with authority, we have to go all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to the beginning, and look at God's original plan for us. And we can find that in Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26. We can actually go to 24. It says, then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts in the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over the earth and over every living creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every creature that crawls upon the earth. And so that right there tells us God's creative plan. And, you know, we talk about authority. One thing that he says in there, he says, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. You know, and that's a prime example of authority. We've been blessed. We have, we've had 8 different women that the doctors have said would be barren, not have babies, that we prayed for and that they had babies. And so, you know, it's not, one of those was Pastor Dwight Shepherd's granddaughter. Amen. There's a whole story there. We were going up to Oklahoma City. I played Santa Claus during the winter time, around Christmas time, and I'd lost the beard to my outfit. So we went up to find a place in Oklahoma City, that costume place. Mm-hmm. And while I was up in Oklahoma City, my brakes went out and could not find anywhere. I called everybody's like, well, we're going to be closing soon. But finally drove up the couple blocks. There was a Jiffy Loop. And they said, we can get you in. And I said, I just need some brakes. Well, they looked at it, and it was something totally different. They was like, worse than that. And they was like, it's going to be about 4 or 5 hours. So me and my friend went over to the Pizza Hut and hung out for a couple hours. And then I went to go back and check on my truck. And they said, we almost got it done. Well, there's about 5 or 6 people walk in while we're waiting. And the young lady that was sitting there, the Lord told me, he said, the doctors have said she's barren, but she shall produce a baby. Didn't know who she was. And so I said, man, I said, can I tell you something that the Lord said? And when I told her, she just broke down bawling. And after we sat there talking, I asked her where they were from, and they said they were from Mustang and or Midwest City. And I said, well, I'm from Elk City. And she said, my dad's a pastor in Burns Flat. And it was him, and it was his daughter. And we know that she had a beautiful baby girl. And so, you know, we have to look at things like that when we talk about authority. He didn't say try to multiply. He said he gave it a command: subdue this earth and multiply. Right. And so, you know, anytime the enemy tries to do something against God's word, we have that power and authority.
That's right.
Like you said, to enforce it. And you know, God's just awesome. You know, and but that's the original plan that He created man for. We weren't created just to, lounge back in our lazy boys and, you know, do this. We were created to walk in authority. Mm-hmm. And so His original plan, we have to remember, God's original plan was to establish His kingdom, heavenly kingdom, on earth. He wanted to expand it. He wanted to, the same kingdom that operated in heaven was to establish it here on earth. And so He needed ambassadors, and so He created man, and with the purpose to rule and reign with Him. And so He said, let's give them dominion. Dominion means to rule and to reign. And so that was His original plan. And if we look at we want to know, well, what does it look like? What did it look like to rule and reign? The perfect example would be in the Garden of Eden. And, it was in a place that was in the middle of the outside world, but there's this safe place that He put them on. And, you know, there was no sin, there was no sickness, there was no death. Everything was perfect. And the Bible said that they walked with Him and they talked with Him in the cool of the day. You know, what were they talking about? Probably talking about, you know, strategy, instruction, revelation on how to rule and reign with Him. And so, you know, everything, they always talk, remember that Walgreens commercial that used to always say, in a world called perfect, this would be such and such, such and such. And they always say, well, unfortunately, perfect, that world don't exist. But it did at one time. Amen. It did at one time. And, we know what happened with, with the devil. He wanted to rise up and take God's place. He wanted to try to be God. And we know that in a flash of, you know, in the moment of a flash of lightning, God kicked him out of heaven. And so from that moment on, the enemy said, well, I couldn't do it directly, so now I'm going to try to do it indirectly. I'm still going to try to rule and reign. I'm going to try to rule and reign down here. And so, you know, God put us here to establish His kingdom, but now the enemy's down here saying, I'm going to establish my kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's like I tell people, God, you know, God has His plan for His people, and the enemy has his plan for God's people. And that's why we're in a constant, you know, war every day, day in and day out. And so the enemy said, I'm going to get that dominion. I'm going to rule and I'm going to reign. But he couldn't, because man had been given that dominion. And so he couldn't just take it. He had to earn it. And the only way that he could earn it is if he could cause them to forfeit it. And so what did he do? He used the serpent, which is the craftiest, of all creation. And so, you know, Adam and Eve, they're living in this perfect world, and here comes this serpent. You know, hey, Eve, did God really say you couldn't eat from that tree? Oh, yeah, we can eat from all these trees except that one, or we'll die. And then he says, oh, you ain't going to die. Mm-hmm. God just knows that if you eat from it, you're going to become like Him. And then so she looks at it, and she says, man, that fruit sure does look good. And so she took a bite of it, and
Immediately, then, she knew she was naked.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
She was naked. Uh-huh. And then gave Adam some to eat. And then he knew he was naked. And so, so then what happens? All of a sudden, they were used to walking with God, talking to him, just walking around. And all of a sudden, one day he comes and calls for them. What do? They hide because they knew they were naked. And immediately he knew that they had eaten from that fruit. Mm-hmm. And so then what happens? They're banished from the garden. And, you know, he says, you're gonna work the ground. You're going to sweat the ground and it's not going to produce for you. Tells Eve you're going to have birth pains during childbirth. And so all of a sudden it goes from perfect ruling and reigning to complete other end of the spectrum. And you can only imagine, you know, in one moment, sin separated them. Mm-hmm. You know, here they are walking with God, ruling and reigning, and in a moment, mm-hmm. they're separated from him. You know, and they're no longer under that covering of, you know, and that's important when we talk about authority, because that's where we lost our authority. Mm-hmm. At that moment, that authority was forfeited to the enemy that was seeking for it. And so what happened, you know, kind of working up to authority, what happened was sin separated us from, you know, from God. And so the spirit still wanted that intimacy with God. But since we were separated, the flesh had to come up with ways to still explain how God is, how God functions. That's where religion came on the scene. Religion is, you know, back in the day it meant something to be, hey, yeah, I'm religious. But when you really think about it in terms of the kingdom, no, I'm not religious, I'm kingdom, you know. And because if you think about what religion is, it's man-made doctrine. It's man's idea of how God, of who God is, how he functions. And, you know, obviously, a lot of times now we make excuses on why we're not seeing the things God said we should see. And, you know, that's included in that realm of religion. And so, from the time of the fall until the time that Jesus came on the scene, man was coming up with these ideas, all these thoughts of how, you know, who God was, how God functioned. And so then Jesus comes on the scene, and he didn't come to establish religion. He didn't come to verify, you know, their doctrine. He didn't come to establish their doctrine. He didn't come to bring anything new. He didn't come to replace. He came to restore.
That's right.
He came to restore the original plan of God. He came to restore that dominion that God called us to walk in. And so I think we read it the people read it in the Bible that, you know, dominion's been restored, power's been restored. But I really don't think they understand what it means. I think a lot of people are still walking in, you know, with that religious mindset today. And so, you know, how do we know that he didn't come to establish religion? Because many of his confrontations were with the religious leaders, the religious people. You know, the Bible says that he gave us, you know, rest on the Sabbath. Well, here comes Jesus healing a man with a twisted arm. And, of course, he was made whole. But here's the Pharisees, you know, wanting to take him out because who's this man working on the Sabbath? Mm-hmm. And so the thing is that they knew the word. They knew the written word, but they didn't know the living word that was right there in front of them. And so, you know, many times if we know the word, but we're consumed in religion, we can miss the very things that God wants to do. Because here they're saying, oh, why is he healing on the Sabbath? Why is, you know, and so look what they would have missed, you know, if they weren't like that. So he didn't come to replace, he came to restore. And so we know that they tried to get rid of him, and they thought they had succeeded. And one of my favorite, that movie, Passion of the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part of that movie is at the very end when the devil thought he had him. And at the very end, that devil's looking up, just screaming. He thought he had him, thought he got rid of him. But what he didn't know was that it was just beginning, just beginning. Mm-hmm. And he realized, he thought he got rid of him, but all of a sudden he realized, hey, the keys have been given back mm-hmm. to the people. And so, you know, one thing in that is that, you know, Jesus, when he began his ministry at 30 years old, and a lot of people say, well, why was it 30 years old? And if you look at the history, rabbis had to be 30 years old before they could even step into their calling, into their ministry. That was a requirement. And so even at 12 years old, he knew who he was. He knew what he was called to do, but he had to go through a time of equipping, training. And then at the right time, he could step into that. But, you know, a lot of times we have people, they know who God called them to be. They know what he called them to do, but they don't want to go through that equipping.
Mm-hmm.
They want to just step in, you know, prematurely. But there was requirements, you know, for that ministry. And, you know, Jesus waited until that time to step in. And so it was about, you know, he submitted to the rules. He submitted to authority. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's all the miracles that we see, all everything that we've seen in his ministry. Because we know that, you know, he left his God. Everything that he had of God, he left to come down to become one of us, to show us how to do things. Yes, he was God, but yes, he was also man. And so the reason that he was able to do what he did in his ministry was because he was submitted to the authority. He was submitted to the Father. Everything he talked about, he didn't, you know, he said, my Father sent me, you know, talked about the Father. And, you know, one thing about the Trinity is that Jesus will always, you know, Jesus always wanted to make his Father known, not himself.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit comes to make Jesus known, not himself. And so that's what we have to do, is that when we walk in the ministry God called us to, we're not here to make ourselves known.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about us. It's not me, you know, my anointing, my church, my this. No, it's, you know, God's, that he has given you. And so the only way that we can walk in that is if we submit to the authority of God. And we can stop for a prayer right there, and then we can talk after that.
Okay.
That's a good stopping place.
We do have several prayer requests. This first prayer request, you were talking about kidneys a while ago. I've got a couple of kidney prayer requests today.
Amen.
The first one is for Beverly King, who was told that her kidneys are not functioning properly. Doctors told her that they were only operating at 73% and that will not change.
Amen.
And I said to her, malarkey.
Malarkey.
They don't know. They don't know our God.
Yeah.
And Amen. Then we want to pray for Grant Burns, who's having total reverse shoulder replacement today. I don't know if you know Grant. He lived in Burns Flat for a while, but he was also in Cheyenne years ago as a highway patrolman there.
Okay.
And then, let's see, I've lost them. We'll pray for these two, and let me find the one that fell off here somewhere.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now, Lord. We thank you for Beverly King, Lord. Lord, we thank you that for what you did on Thursday night. But Lord, we thank you that you're not a one-time God. And Father God, we know that you're not a respecter of persons, Lord. So what you did on Thursday night, Lord, we know that you will do for Beverly as well, Lord. And so right now, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just speak to her body. And Father God, we command those kidneys, Lord, to function. God, Lord, the way that they were designed to function. And Lord, we command that the percentage of operation, Lord, come up above 73, Lord. And Lord, we just give you all the praise. Father God, we thank you that you're making her kidneys new, Lord. And Father God, we thank you that, Lord, that you're amazing the doctors even today, Lord. Father God, that they say that it'll never change, Lord, but we know that you are the changer. And so, Father God, we just thank you for the testimony in advance, Lord. And Father God, we pray for Grant Burns, Lord, who's having reverse shoulder replacement today. Father God, we just pray that, Lord, you would guide the surgeon's hands, Lord. And, Lord, we just pray for total healing. And, Lord, we pray for accelerated healing, Lord. And, Lord, that you would get the glory in all this as well. And we thank you for it, Lord.
And the next couple of prayer requests, this one is for continued healing for Joe's left kidney, which hasn't been emptying properly because a tumor is pressing against the left ureter. And therefore, he had to have a stent placed in that left ureter. Now, when we were at the doctor's a couple of weeks ago, and I said, the tumors have shrunk, so praise God for that.
Amen.
But I said, so when can he quit having that stent put in? Because they have to change it every 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's a huge process because he's under anesthesia, you know, and it's uncomfortable and just all sorts of stuff. The doctor said, well, I think this will be a lifelong thing. And I'm thinking, okay, $23,000 for each procedure, I guess you would think it's a lifelong thing. But you don't know our God. You do not know our God. The tumors have shrunk some. Of course, they're saying the proton therapy probably killed the cancer or did, you know, they think it killed the cancer in the tumors, but then that still leaves scar tissue. But God.
But God.
But God.
But
yeah,
God.
So we're believing that those tumors are going to shrink enough that he's not going to have to continue to have that stent put in. And so I just would like our prayer warriors to believe with us and stand with us on that. And then we want to pray for the family of Mary Shaver, who went to her heavenly home this past Saturday. And Mary was about, I can't remember for sure, 86 or 7 years old. So she lived a good long life.
Amen. Yeah. You know, you talk about the money. I think it was Kenya or another country I seen on a documentary that there was a group of kids that went into a hospital and prayed, went through the hospital praying, and everyone that they prayed for, they emptied that hospital. God emptied that hospital through them. You know, and over there, that's all they have is God to rely on.
Sure.
And
yeah.
So, you know, I always tell God, I can't wait for the day that the people in this country get it.
Mm-hmm.
Get that concept and just come through cleaning out the hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
amen.
They're going to be, the doctors going to be seeing them dollar signs mm-hmm. flashing for their eyes the going thing, down the drain. But
the thing about people in these third world countries is that is their only hope.
Yeah.
And they can't just run to Dr. Feelgood every time the sun comes up.
Yeah.
And so they really do look to God for healing.
Yeah.
Period.
They understand it's a matter of life and death
right.
for them.
We've seen that in Honduras numbers of times
yeah.
where people were on death's doorstep. They had a certificate from the doctor saying they had stage 4 something or another cancer
yeah.
and be healed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe we're in the process of seeing that here too.
I think so too.
And we thank God for that. But Father God, we thank you today, Lord, for continued prayer for Joe's left kidney. Father God, we just pray for that tumor, every tumor in his body, every mass in his body, God. Lord, we command it to dry up. We command it to dissolve and disintegrate. Lord, we just thank you for proper kidney function. Lord, we come against what the doctor's report said, that this would be a lifelong thing. But Father God, we know right now, Lord, that we decree and declare that it will not be a lifelong thing, Lord. We decree and declare that it shall come to an end soon and suddenly, Lord. And we just thank you for what you're doing in Joe's body, Lord. We command the healing power of God to flow through his body. And, Lord, we just thank you for healing in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we pray for the family of Mary Shaver, Lord, that she's gone to her heavenly home. Lord, we just thank you for the life that she lived, Lord. Thank you for the lives that were touched and impacted through her life. And, Lord, we just pray for encouragement. We pray for peace, Lord, and that only you can give, Lord. And we just thank you for lifting them up in this time. And, Lord, we give you all the praise, the glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen.